This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people.
For the next hour, we're going to discuss transgender issues. We've got Vicky Marie Hogan and we've got Shane Jackson in the studio with us. And welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
I know you're regular Vectis Radio personalities because, Vicky, you've been in here very recently, haven't you, with Joan Ellis?
Joan Ellis, yeah.
And Shane, you've been in here loads and loads of occasions, haven't you?
I think two times now.
Yeah, with us too. Yeah,
exactly. Well, look, it's fantastic to be here with you. One of the reasons we wanted to have this show is, as you know, we do a lot of LGBTQ programming. One person came onto Twitter and said, "Listen, guys, you know what you've been doing is all about sexuality as opposed to identity," and we thought it was, you know. Obviously, you know, when we received that, we must do something about identity. And we'll talk about the difference, I think, between sexuality and identity a little bit later in the show. But I think, you know, most people can only really get a grip on transgender issues when they actually know somebody who is transgender or who has sort of been through the process. So I thought probably the best way to start off would be for both of you to sort of tell your stories sort of from the beginning to where you are now, because you know, we've got a good contrast here, because Vicky, you know, you obviously started off as a man, and Shane, when we saw you last, you were Ruth.
Yep.
And you know, difference in age between you, because Shane's still studying and Vicky, you're retired now, aren't you? So very, very different stories, and it's you know, nice to get the contrast between the two. So maybe Shane, can we start off with you, because you know, you've had an amazing last 2 years, haven't you?
Well, it's been hectic, to say the least.
Yeah.
So I mean, I've spoken previously on Vectis, and well, coming back to about May last year was when I first came out to my parents as being gay.
Yeah.
Because I believe that was my identity at the time. You know, I was, back in that day, a girl, and I was into girls, and that was the matter of fact.
Yes.
And since I was able to come out and eventually out of the family home, I was able to sort of explore my identity a bit more, my gender a bit more. One of the first things I did was actually get my hair cut short, because that was something I'd never been allowed to do.
Yeah.
So actually, you know, doing that, it was kind of very freeing.
But you, I mean, you've been very, very brave, because I know your parents, you know, when you said, first of all, you know, you thought you were lesbian, were, you know, not easy about that, were
no,
they?
No, they weren't.
Because I think they're, are they Baptist or Christians?
Yeah,
or?
They come from a Protestant background, and
right.
At the moment they're Baptist.
Yeah, so they found that very difficult, and I think you said, you know, they said to you, look, you're going to either have to leave or
never speak about it again.
Or never speak about it again, and you took that decision, very, very brave, to leave. Are you still in contact with them?
Currently not at the moment.
Oh,
I'm
sorry.
There is an important lesson in that, as hard as it is for the actual person transitioning, it's also very hard on those who are close to you and who knew you under a different identity.
Yeah,
so I
exactly.
think the space is needed for the moment.
Yeah, yeah. No. Now, tell us then, you know, when you sort of left the home, what were you thinking in terms of your own identity? Had you thought before, you know, maybe I am a boy?
I think definitely, you know, I was the stereotypical tomboy, never did much with my hair, always up a tree or falling out of it, that kind of thing. So, you know, it was never something where I fully identified as being fully feminine.
Right.
So being out of the family home, having that expression to be myself, to explore a bit more, sort of led me down this path to think, actually, no, I'm more comfortable not identifying as female.
Right, okay. And what are you doing about it at the moment? I mean, are you getting support on the island?
So currently I attend a youth group called Breakout, which
with Michael Salmon and everybody.
Yes, I'm sure you've heard of
them. Yeah, they do a fantastic job.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, as far as I'm aware, that's the only youth LGBT group on the island for support.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And is that a positive experience?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's another trans guy there, so, you know, it's very much a case of shared experiences and having that support from someone who's been through the same thing.
Right. And do you see this, you know, as a permanent move towards being a man?
Currently, that's what I hope to achieve. I mean, I'm currently on the waiting list, which is standing about 14 months for gender identity treatment from the NHS.
Well, we need to talk about that, because I know sort of Vicky's had some, you know, concerns about that waiting list as well. Mm. So, okay, can I just turn to Vicky then? Vicky, you know, you're older than Shane, because you know you've
just
had a full you've had a full career, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Can you just tell us about your career? You know, when you realised that you wanted to make the move to be a woman.
I've known since I was a little kid there was something different about me.
Yeah,
I've always been feminine in outlook.
Yeah,
never understood it, to be honest. And for 40 years, plus 40 years, no one had a single clue. I wouldn't even admit it myself. I thought there was something wrong with me. I was embarrassed, ashamed. I've always had been feminine in outlook and my attitude emotionally.
Yeah,
but I did pursue. Very macho careers. I was in total denial for 40 years.
Because you were in the army, weren't you? I think at
I was
one
a,
stage,
fireman,
a fireman,
and then I was in the army, and then I was a police officer.
Yeah, wow. So I mean, that's an extraordinary career to have had, and you've lived abroad as well, haven't you?
All over the world, yeah.
Yeah,
I was in Canada for 18 years up until July last year.
And you've been married twice.
Married twice with 5 kids. Yeah.
Wow. So when did you suddenly decide that, or was it not sudden, to transition to being a woman?
For about 8-9 years ago, I started to think about it, and since I was a little kid, I suffered from major depression.
Yeah.
At the age of 13, I was hospitalised and given electric convulsive therapy for 10 days.
Oh, God. I'm sorry.
And about 8 or 9 years ago, I started to understand it. I didn't even know there was a name for it.
Yeah.
And immediately, the depression disappeared, and since then, it has been a progression. And I actually came out about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And everyone thought I'd gone bonkers, to be honest. Because not one single person knew. Not my wives, not my friends, absolutely no one.
Yeah.
Not even myself.
Well, look, what I'd like to do is get in the track, because you've asked for Alberosi Creep, which we'll...
Alberosi Rich.
Alberosi Rich. No.
Radiohead Creep.
Oh, he's Radiohead Creep, yeah, is it? Oh, I've got them mixed up. Well, let's see which one it is,
yeah,
shall we?
Okay.
And then we'll come back to that. You know, what I'd like to do is talk about sort of people's reactions. But, you know... I don't want to sort of dwell on the sort of negative side of things, because I think for both of you, I'd hope this is an extremely positive experience. Mm. And, you know, I'd like you to be able to share with people, you know, just what a positive experience it is as well. So either this is Radiohead or Alberosi. Let's have a listen.
This song is...
Well, that was Radiohead, wasn't it?
It was, Radiohead Creep.
And why did you choose that?
Basically sums up my childhood and 40 years of what I thought.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Oh, blimey. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry I said that was Alberosi. We've got Alberosi a little bit later on, yeah. And Rich, and we've got some of Shane's favourite ones as well coming up. We're talking about transgender issues with Shane and Vicky. Vicky, your full name's Vicky Marie. Yeah. Do you like to be called Vicky Marie or Vicky?
I use Vicky Marie as a double barrel front first name. Sounds classier.
Yeah, it does sound very... It sounds amazingly...
But Vicky's fine. I don't mind
it sounds amazingly
Vicky.
Classy.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about the support there is for transgender people on the Isle of Wight. I know, Shane, you were saying Breakout Youth is really good.
Yep.
But there's a kind of age limit on that, isn't there?
What's that? It's 21 or up to 25 with a referral or additional support.
Okay. Vicky, I'm not going to ask you your age, but I know you are older than that. What kind of help is there for you?
For trans issues, absolutely nothing. The support that I've got is all from the Pride organisation, to be honest. I'm pretty involved with the Pride organisation.
Yes, yeah.
I'm pretty outgoing. I chat with people, and I've made friends from the secular world all over the place. And I've educated quite a few people about what transgender is.
Yeah.
There's a lot of assumptions made. And I have actually recently contacted by an organisation in Southampton that are willing to want something set up on the island for a trans support network, which I'm going to be involved with.
Well, that's fantastic. How helpful is the NHS?
Absolutely not.
Really?
I've also been requested by Health Watch to speak to healthcare workers and educate them, because it's there's almost 99% total ignorance.
And is it because, do you think, you know, is it an island?
Is it just across the whole of the
UK?
It's worldwide.
Yeah, because I mean, the transgender issues have sort of featured a hell of a lot in the news recently. Mm. So you'd think that people were being sort of more educated, but it's not happening. And I guess, you know, both of you, I think you said earlier, are seeking sort of hormone treatment so that you can make the transition. How do you get that, and who pays for it?
Well, I got a referral last August to the Gender Identity Clinic, and by the way, I had to find the address for the GP to send the referral to.
Right. So where is this gender clinic?
There's one in Charing Cross, all over the country. There's 3 or 4.
Right.
The wait list, the waiting time just for your very first appointment is 13 months to 2 years. You get quicker treatment for an ingrown toenail.
Blimey.
And this is a life-threatening condition. People kill themselves over this. There's 71% of trans people... 41% of trans people attempt suicide. Oh.
No.
77%...
41%?
..engage in mental health services.
Yeah, oh, gosh.
And it's almost total ignorance. So it's,
And Shane, what's happened to you? Did you go to a GP and...
So actually, my first GP that I went to had no idea what I was on about and attempted to refer me to CAMHS, which I was already under at the time.
Oh, gosh.
So that resulted in me having to change my actual GP surgery that I was registered with to actually get a doctor who knew what a gender identity clinic was.
Yep. There's a broken arm syndrome.
Yeah.
Where every ailment that you get is referred back to your transgender status. They think because if you break your leg, it's something to do with trans. There's total ignorance. And doctors, they actually... The Equality and Human Rights Commission in Health Services stated that there's inappropriate diagnosis, lack of knowledge by GPs, denial of treatment, they're humiliated by GPs, and trans status is blamed for everything.
So, Shane, are you going now to this clinic in London? Is it?
Well, at best, I'll have a 14-month wait, as you've heard from Vicky, because I've... currently being referred in April.
Right.
So I'll currently be on a waiting list for at least 14 months before I can get that first appointment.
Yeah, gosh. I had no idea that it was so difficult.
I've got my first appointment 7th of July, and I was forced to go private 8 months ago with Dr. Helen Webley.
Yeah.
On hormone therapy, and I'm on a small income, a war pension, and I'm no longer able to afford it, and... 2 weeks ago, I finally qualified for medication coverage.
Yeah.
And not the GP nor GIC will accept responsibility. And I've had to suddenly stop, and that could lead to sudden stroke, heart failure, liver failure, kidney. Gender dysphoria returns 100 times worse, which is major depression, suicidal ideation. I mean, it's dangerous, and not one of them will take responsibility and prescribe for me, or even a bridging home one. They won't do it.
Gosh. Well, I think, you know, the time is right then. For you to go and talk to healthcare workers on the island. Is that something that you would do as well, Shane?
I mean, I have tried and I have talked to the team leader at CAMHS, but obviously there's only a limited amount they can do because it's not seen as being under their area of mental health. It's seen that the government has another way of dealing with this and therefore it's their issue.
Blimey. Okay, well, look, let's leave that there because I do want to come back to, you know, I think there's a positive story to tell as well. What I'd like to talk about after we've heard Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive, of course, is I think, you know, what people can do to make you more comfortable on the island, you know, in terms of a social context. Okay, thanks for being with us. Stick with us. We'll be back after some Gloria Gaynor. And that was chosen by Shane, who's with us. I think there's a dedication, isn't there, Shane?
Yep, I'd like to dedicate this to Adam, Danny and Liv, everyone at the GSA, who are incredibly awesome.
Fantastic. Well, we've heard that track from you before. It's an absolutely fabulous track. And I'd just like to talk about how it is, now that both of you have decided, you know, you're transgender, you're sort of transitioning the other way, how does that make you feel? Do you feel a lot more positive for that? Shane, I mean,
when I first came out with my parents, you know, I didn't realise it at the time, but I was suffering from depression that later got diagnosed by CAMHS, and I'm subsequently on medication now. But I think definitely with the realisation that I was trans and being able to sort of do something about that physically with binding, that kind of thing, that definitely helped out with that. I managed to identify that part of my depression was due to this dysphoria, and being able to recognise that, I was able to do something about it.
Fabulous, because I think a lot of sort of people who don't know anything about transgender people who've not met them will sometimes think, oh, you know, this must be either a cry for help or, you know, just a cry for attention. But in fact, I think, you know, what we're seeing here is you are just simply becoming the person that you knew you always were inside, I suppose. Is that right, Vicky?
Yeah, definitely. I've always enjoyed girly stuff. I was just talking the other day, I belong to a group here called Isle of Wight Advanced Style for women 50+. I'm the only trans person, all the others are birth gender women. And it's great, I feel free that I can talk to them about dresses. And we were talking about the other day, I mentioned about the old Bunty comic. We used to cut them out, and I used to steal my sister's ones and do it.
Yeah.
And we were talking, it's liberating, so liberating to be able to be feminine, be gentle.
And
I've been to be macho for all my life.
Do you wake up in the morning and sort of have a sort of sense of relief as you wake up that you're now Vicky?
To be honest, I have trouble remembering that I was a man.
Really?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
And like sometimes I walk down the street and I know people look at me. And sometimes I actually wonder what they're looking at. And my dead name, my legal name is now Vicky Marie Hogan. If someone shouted out my dead name, it wouldn't register. It's just been total, completely on the phone. People always say, well, can I speak to the account holder? And I've got a good sense of humor. I always tell them, well, I look like Joan Collins, but I sound like Barry White. And always gets a laugh and breaks the ice. So.
Yeah, quite right. Now, it's an interesting one, because I wanted to go on to, you know, how people react and how people can make you feel more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Are your friends sort of shocked, or do they, you know, do they put on a brave face, or are they? Do you find that people sort of unwittingly are insulting?
Some are,
yeah.
Some are, definitely, but others. I mean, I fully understand that it can be strange. They haven't been up close to people like myself and Shane, and I'm very open. As long as you're respectful, you can ask me anything you like, personal questions. Some people feel awkward; they don't know exactly what to say. But I mean, if you've got questions, ask.
Yeah.
Ask, and I like to use the right pronouns. I like to be called my title is Miss, but you know, I'm a bit old to be a Miss. So.
Yeah.
Vicky, and like I do some support work, and on the phones I'm
yeah.
Vic, so
yeah.
I've got to explain it. I don't, you know, just if you don't know, ask, and like don't deliberately. You can tell the difference when people are doing it deliberately. Some
yeah.
people do it, and to be honest, they're just ignorant and they're not capable of being educated. But if you don't know, ask.
Yeah, and Shane, do you think there's a kind of generational thing now with sort of younger people, you know, much more open and accepting?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm guessing you came from a generation where homosexuality was still criminalised.
I've actually arrested gay people in the army for being homosexual.
Really?
Put them in prison for 6 months and then not disabled discharge from the army. I had to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Goodness. I mean, that's an extraordinary story.
Yeah.
You're at Christ the King, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Shane, how are they there? Because I know Kieran, who's in the studio with us at the moment, has also been at Christ the King. It's a religious school, but you said that they're pretty helpful.
Yeah, I think the important thing to remember is that, you know, not everyone has the same attitudes to trans people just because they come from one religious minority or another.
Yeah.
So I think actually the college has been quite helpful, because they do recognise they have a responsibility to students for their mental welfare, for their physical welfare.
Yeah. It sounds to me like there's a lot more support on the island for younger people than for older people.
Yeah, yeah. That's quite fair, yeah.
But
well, specific support. I mean, Pride have been absolutely amazing. They've accepted me as a female and I got to know everybody. I'm pretty outgoing. I came here, I didn't know a single person. I came here with the intent of making friends and getting involved, and it's working out really good.
Yeah, I mean, Pride has had the most amazing effect on the island. Coming back to that, because at 2 o'clock we've got a load of people. And I think, Shane, you're sticking with us, hopefully, at 2 o'clock, because we're talking about the Arts Week that's coming up for just before Pride at the Apollo Theatre. We'll come back to Pride in a minute. Here's Mary Lambert, and She Keeps Me Warm. I think this is one of yours, Shane.
She says I smell like...
Mary Lambert. And She Keeps Me Warm. Another track chosen by Shane. We're here with Shane and Vicky Marie, talking about transgender issues at the moment, and we've heard some incredible stories from both of you. Tell me, when it comes to terminology over trans issues, a lot of people sort of don't want to make a mistake, but you know, and they do want to talk about it, you know, from a position of sympathy and empathy. What is the best way to describe what you're doing? Is it transgender, transsexual, obviously not transvestite, but what would you say?
Transsexual and transgender, and transgender means you're changing your gender. My gender's always been correct. I've always been female.
Yeah.
My sex has been wrong. Nature made a mistake. I'm in the process of changing my sex, so I'm transsexual.
Yeah.
I'm actually gonna, and once I've had the confirmation surgery, as far as I'm concerned, I won't be trans in anything. I'll be a woman.
Right. So at the moment you see yourself as
I completely identify as a woman.
But you identify as a woman.
You have to give yourself
woman.
A label to help people understand it. But the trouble is, they apply their criteria.
and Shane, is that the same with you?
Yeah, I'd say my generation has more grown up with the idea of transgender, meaning the whole inclusive of non-binary, not being either male or female, but somewhere drifting in the middle between.
Right.
So I think transgender for my generation is just an umbrella term.
Right, so you, I mean, I suppose the thing is, you know, you have a sexual identity, but you also have a gender identity as well, don't you? And the two could be, you know, exactly the same, or they could be completely different. Is that right?
And some people are neither. They can be trans, they're neither female or male. They feel both.
Yeah.
That's non-binary. That's part of transgenderism.
So the problem is then that we're sort of trying to put people into boxes where perhaps, you know, there are no boxes. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Well, yeah, there isn't. A lot of people do assume that being trans is all about sex. It's got absolutely nothing to do with your sexual preference. Nothing to do whatsoever. They assume that you're a gay man straight away.
Right.
They assume that you're a lesbian.
Yeah.
If you're a trans man.
And do, I mean, drag queens can't help in that regard.
To be honest, nothing personal against any drag queens, but I find that I'm out there trying to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
And that can be a bit of parody. So, yeah, I've got nothing against you. People enjoy it. That's good for them. But for me, I go and have a smoke. I go somewhere else while they do it. For me, because I'm trying to be taken seriously. I don't want to be seen as drag. I mean, a lot of people think you are, but you're playing dress up. It's got nothing to do with playing dress up, you know? This is who I am. I'm a woman.
Good. So, I mean, the takeaway from here is that sexuality and identity are two completely separate things.
Yep.
And, well, stick with us, because I'd just like to get one more track in after the adverts, and it is Rich. And we're going to get the right one this time. And when we come back, let's just quickly talk about Pride.
Okay.
And what a help Pride is going to be for you, and already is.
This is Vectis Radio, serving the Isle of Wight and beyond. www.vectisradio.com.
It's Al Barossi and Rich. And Vicky, you chose that one because...
I don't have money, but I'm...
But you're happy.
I'm rich.
Exactly.
I don't have money, but I'm rich because I'm happy. I'm content, more than I have been in my whole life.
Well, it's good to see both of you here, content, you know, now that you're becoming the people that you knew you always were.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much for coming in and sharing your experiences with us. I think one very positive thing as well is that Pride seems to be helping everybody on the island, doesn't it? I mean, it hasn't happened yet. It's on the 15th of July, but just in a nutshell, in 10 seconds, could both of you just sort of tell us, you know, what it's done for you?
The Pride community, I'm quite involved with the promotion of Pride, and I linked in with the Pride community when I got here. They're my support network. I've made some really good friends, lesbian, gay, straight, all sorts of people involved with Pride. You don't have to be LGBT to be involved with Pride.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that aren't.
And how about you, Shane?
In three words, acceptance, friends, and party.
Fantastic. I mean,
bad dancing.
Certainly.
And I think the thing for listeners at home, for, you know, people who don't know either transgender people or gay people, come along to Pride because it's just a great big party. And actually, the more you know, the better.
And if you see me around, stop and say hello.
Yeah, fantastic.
We promise we're not dangerous.
No, we're not dangerous.
No dangerous society here. Well. Fantastic. Vicky and Shane, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank
and
you.
Shane, could you stick around? Because we're going to be talking more about Pride in just a minute. There are so many great events coming up on the Isle of Wight over the next couple of months, but none is as important as Isle of Wight Pride. And we're very lucky here on Vectis Radio to have in the studio with us Sue Bergen and Carl Birch. Thank you very much for being here. Sue, you are the Fringe Events Coordinator. That wasn't me, by the way. That was a lion. that was the sound, you can hear it. That's the sound of a lion at the Isle of Wight Zoo. So don't worry, we're not having indigestion here on Vectis Radio. Sue, you're Fringe Events Coordinator at Isle of Wight Pride. Isle of Wight Pride is going to be on the 15th of July.
That's
tell me what's happening about the Fringe. It all sounds very exciting.
Well, it sounds very grand, doesn't it, Fringe Events Coordinator? My role has essentially been to take all of the ideas that anybody's been involved with Pride, and help turn them into some sort of reality. So the Fringe Events are there for two reasons. One is to raise funds for Pride, because it's the first Pride.
Yeah.
And the second is to raise awareness of the issues around Pride, why we're having Pride on the island for the first time.
Yeah.
So the Fringe events are pretty much coming to a head with Apollo Week, but the kind of things that we've run are we've had discos and launch events. We've got Walk Your Dog with Pride next week,
yeah,
which
fantastic.
Will be an interesting one. We've got a night at Coburg's coming up.
Walk Your Dog with Pride. Was that Joe Fincher's idea?
It might have been. No, it was John Branscombe's
idea, really?
Funny
okay.
enough. They've all got dogs.
They've all
the
got dogs
go everywhere. Yeah. So, so the sort of those are the sort of things that, that we've run. But the Fringe, in and of itself, the main event is Pride Arts Week at the Apollo, which I know we're going to talk about.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. That's fine. I mean, Judith and I are very pleased that, because we're part of the Fringe, because we're showing Hairspray this weekend, which is sold out, I'm pleased to say. And, yeah, there are so many events coming up. I think the best thing to do before we go on and talk to Carl is just give a mention of the website for those people listening at home. It's iwpride.org. Very, very easy to remember. And all the Fringe events are up there, as well as the big day itself, which is 15th of July.
That's right. There's still plenty that people can get involved in. And apart from anything else, it'll let people know what it is that we're all about.
Okay. Now, Carl, you are here because you have got an event as part of that Pride Arts Week, haven't you?
I do indeed, yes.
And that one is Queer Bash.
Correct.
Now, Queer Bash, I understand. I've got a star of Queer Bash, actually, sitting next to me. It's Kieran Genvey. Who,
the breakout star.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to say, he does look very, very fetching as Joan of Arc.
Oh, massively so.
Did you write that role specifically for him or not?
No, but I didn't. It sort of came about because there's a part in the Queer Bash where we all perform, well, 10 of us perform in drag.
Right.
And it's based around this musical composition called Herstory of the World.
Right.
So it's all about like the history's most famous women.
Okay,
and because it's in drag... But unfortunately, because of our lack of boys, we had to fill some of the slots with girls. But the boys I did choose, I allocated very precisely.
Yeah.
And I thought Kieran would make an amazing Joan of Arc.
He does. The beard doesn't really work, though, does it?
Oh, I made him shave it.
I know. He came into the Vector studio fully shaven. And I thought, blimey, what on earth happened? But, yeah, I understand why you did it now. Now, this was a play that you did in response to the Orlando shootings, I understand.
Yes, it was. I previously... created a play about women's rights and feminism, and I've always wanted to do a play on LGBT rights, and I was just waiting for something to really get me driven into doing that. And after the news came in from Pulse Nightclub in Orlando last year, it was quite a harrowing experience for me and many others in the LGBT community, I think. It was a wake-up call around the world that we weren't as safe as we thought we were. And from that stemmed several ideas that ended up coming to fruition in the Queer Bash, which details all of the struggles, both previously and currently, that the LGBT community faces.
Fabulous. Well, look, if people are coming to the Isle of Wight for Isle of Wight Pride, this is in the week before, isn't it? So we'll give you more details about this special arts event that's coming up in the few days before Pride, because if you're over on the island for Pride and take a bit of a holiday as well, it would be really, really lovely to hear from you and to get you to go to this. The Red Tie production of Queer Bash, which is going to be at the Apollo Theatre in Newport. We are going to specially have a few tracks now of the artists who are going to be at Isle of Wight Pride on the 15th of July. We've got some big name artists as well as local artists, and the great news is it's all free. There's a parade that's going to be down from Ride School, down Union Street, to the marina, which is where the Pride Village is going to be on the 15th of July. It's a Saturday. And I'm really excited about this particular act. They were one of my favourite DJ acts about 10 years ago. It's Freemasons and it's Uninvited. Freemasons. Yep, and Freemasons are headlining Pride here on the Isle of Wight on the 15th of July. It's a Saturday. We're really excited. Tickets are free, but you do need to register at www.iwpride.org. Now, in the studio, Sue, I think you have got details about this wonderful arts event that is leading up to Pride. It's in the week before and mainly at the Apollo Theatre, I understand, in Newport. Is that right?
That's right, yes. We have taken over the Apollo Theatre for the week, with
Fantastic.
Their permission, of course.
Oh, good.
They've been superbly, brilliantly supportive,
yeah.
And along with Red Tie Theatre Company.
Yes,
we
and
are,
that's Carl.
That's
yes.
Carl is representing Red Tie. We are collaborating to put on a mini arts festival, really, creating a Pride hub right in the middle of Newport.
I mean, it's extraordinary because Pride has just happened from scratch,
mm.
and that's difficult enough. So you decided to sort of make it twice as difficult,
yeah.
by putting on an arts event. Well, fantastic. So what's going to be there?
So what's going to be... The purpose of it is twofold again. One is really to bring Pride into the heart of Newport. We've got the opportunity to have the whole building, decorate it with rainbow flags and banners and make it so obvious nobody will be able to miss it.
Yeah, lovely.
We're going to be open all afternoon.
Right.
And we've got volunteers from all parts of the LGBT community and supporters. And they're there to really give anybody who wants to come in the opportunity to find out more about Pride, the historical
yeah.
struggle, how far we've come, but also... where there's support available on the island, or if
yeah.
they want to be signposted to some specialist support for questions, we've got it there. We've got quiet space for counselling. We've also got tea and cake on offer.
Fantastic.
Merchandise.
Yeah.
And all the rest of it. And information about Pride itself.
Now, are there still tickets available if people come into the Apollo Theatre and say, I'd like to come, please?
There are, but I understand that we're selling out. Carl, you can give us a bit more of an update.
Yes, I believe that the tickets for the second play of the week, Beautiful Thing by Jonathan Harvey, is selling out pretty quickly.
That's good.
So I'd encourage everyone to come and see it, but get your tickets fast.
Okay, and what about the main Pride event? That's had thousands of people apply for tickets,
we
hasn't it?
We have, as of this morning, 3,448 registered. And
Blimey.
We've only got 5,000 tickets, so,
yeah, so
get on the website and get your ticket booked.
Get your skates
yeah.
on, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so for the... Sorry.
No, I was going to say, you know, there was a Pride tent, wasn't there, at the Isle of Wight Festival?
Yes.
And I was just there on the Friday giving out information to people about it, and the positive response was absolutely mind-blowing.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. Yeah.
It has been incredible how
yeah.
much positive response we've had from local businesses, from small businesses, from
I know,
people of all ages.
I know Enterprise Rent-A-Car is doing something special there, and they're coming in to the Visit Isle of Wight show in two weeks' time to talk about that. And they're really, really excited about talking about
yeah.
Pride.
And the travel companies, particularly Hover Travel, are offering discounted travel.
Yeah, I think that's really, really important as well.
Yeah.
And there are lots of LGBTQ-friendly hotels and
yes.
B&Bs. We've featured a few here in the past on Bechtis Radio, so just have a look through previous shows that we've done for Visit Isle of Wight, because there are plenty of gay and lesbian and
yes.
transgender even friendly B&Bs here on the island. It's a very, very welcoming, accepting place.
I think that's absolutely right, and I think the vision for Pride on the island was about helping to challenge the perception, and perhaps
yes.
the wrong perception,
yeah.
That we're behind the mainland
yeah.
in terms of welcoming everyone, you know, whoever they are, whatever their sexual orientation, whatever the gender identification, whatever.
Yeah.
So Pride is the opportunity to celebrate that, how far we've come, and help overcome that perception. We are a welcoming, open island.
Brilliant. Now, how much are the tickets for the evening events?
The evening events from the 11th to the 14th, the
yes.
Apollo, are £8.50 for adults and £3.50 for students.
Right, okay, so it's pretty good value.
I got that wrong, forgive me. It's actually £8, not £8.50.
Oh, well, it's even more of a bargain.
I
well,
know.
That's good. Yeah, sort of start off high and then sort of chisel down.
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic,
well,
good.
We particularly wanted to welcome young people, encourage young people to come along, and hence the discounted tickets.
Good, and I think I should just say, from what Kieran's told me about Queer Bash before, I mean, the audience was packed with young people, wasn't it?
Yeah, massively so.
Yeah, fantastic. So if you're young and you're coming to Pride, that's one thing that's got to be on your list. Again, all the details are on iwpride.org, aren't they?
They are.
Stick with us, because we have to put on a track, We Are Family. Of course, it is a UK Pride anthem, and it's a bit of a Pride anthem here on the Isle of Wight. But we've done it with a difference, because this is Disco Fries and Rains. And Rains, of course, is one of the headline acts at Pride. The wonderful haunting music by Gustavo Santaolalla from the Wings. That was the theme music, of course, from Brokeback Mountain. And welcome to the Visit Isle of Wight show. If you have only just joined us, we're talking about a wonderful event that's coming up on the Isle of Wight. It's Isle of Wight Pride on the 15th of July. And we're chatting about the wonderful things that are going on in the week before. Now, just remind me of the dates, please.
It's Tuesday the 11th to Friday the 14th of July.
Okay, so it's four full days, isn't it?
Yes.
And we've just been talking about two wonderful plays that are going on, Queer Bash and Beautiful Thing. But that's not all. There's going to be all kinds of hilarity. It's not just a question of people dropping in and finding out about Pride, is it, Sue?
No, indeed. So we have the drop-in service, but we also have art on display. In the evening, before the plays, we're opening at 6 o'clock, so earlier than normal.
Yeah.
And in the bar, we've got a variety of entertainments going on. We have spoken words. We've got Donna Jones coming in for the first two evenings.
Donna Jones, MBE,
MBE,
I believe.
MBE, absolutely. So Donna's going to come in and do a couple of evenings of spoken words.
Right.
We also have on the second two evenings, we've got members of the Queer Bash cast doing monologues.
Fantastic. Does that involve you, Kieran?
I wish it did.
Oh. Well, maybe we can do something about that, Carl.
Never.
But in addition to that, we have lots of other things. So we've got a dressing up box, which is particularly spectacular, and a makeup artist. And the first two evenings, we're expecting a younger audience.
Fantastic.
We've got a photographer, Hebe Gregory, who'll be taking pictures of everybody, you know, getting dressed up. And
what are the costumes?
Oh, it's a variety of all sorts of sparkly stuff and
Are there any sort of Isle of Wight themed ones, like Queen Victoria, for example?
Oh, I don't know, Carl.
Oh, I hadn't even thought of that.
Well,
I'll beat everyone to that. I will dress up as Queen Victoria if I have to.
Well, I mean, this is the year of Queen Victoria and Abdul, isn't it? You know, the film,
I suppose,
Stephen
Frears, yeah,
film is coming. I mean, so Victoria and Abdul would be a great sort of theme box, wouldn't it? But to promote
would.
That film, which is filmed at Osborne House.
Aha, so maybe we need to think about that. And maybe we need to think about, because there's something connected to this, we're running a competition called Capture Your Pride.
Right.
And we'll be encouraging everybody that comes along. Those first 2 hours, 6 till 8, are free of charge. You don't have to buy a ticket for the performance to come and join in the fun.
Fabulous.
So come along, take pictures of what's going on, take pictures of your friends, send it to us, and there are some fabulous prizes to be won.
Yeah, and for people who don't know where the Apollo Theatre is, it's pretty easy to find in Newport, isn't it?
It's in Pyle Street.
Yeah,
in
exactly.
Newport.
Yeah.
And it'll be difficult to miss that week, because we will be covering it with rainbows.
Fantastic. Well, okay, thank you very much. Stick with us. Shane is going to come in back into the studio just to tell us in a moment about what's going on one of the evenings. There's going to be a special drop-in for under-18s, isn't there?
That's right, yes.
Okay, well, stick with us. Here is Nikki French, who is also headlining at Pride. And, of course, this is one for Joe Finch because, well, I don't know whether it is, actually, because it's Nikki French covering a Bonnie Tyler classic, which is Total Eclipse of the Heart. Yeah, Total Eclipse of the Heart. That wasn't Bonnie Tyler, of course. It was Nikki French, way too smooth. Maybe it's because she didn't smoke 60 Jiten per day. Anyway, I know there are some Bonnie Tyler fans out there.
And some we know, in this room.
Yeah, some in this room. Yes, you've been getting in on that lip-syncing competition a little bit early, haven't you?
Oh, easily. Yeah. That's how I live my everyday life. I just lip-sync my way through it.
So there's going to be lip-sync, obviously, at this wonderful arts event for Pride. We've got Shane back with us, though. There's going to be a wonderful evening on the Thursday, isn't there, that you're organising, Shane?
Yep, hi again. Yeah, there's going to be a event for under-18s on Thursday the 13th in the Arts Week. It's going to be starting at 6 p.m. It's open to anyone who just wants to chill out, have fun, drop in, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, is it difficult? I should state this as a question rather than a statement. Is it difficult if you're as part of the LGBTQ community and sort of finding other things to do here on the island if you're under 18?
Definitely, because, I mean, the issue is that a lot of the LGBT events are often hosted at nightclubs or they're hosted at bars, which obviously you can't get into when you're under 18.
Yeah, so this is specifically an evening for those people who feel a bit excluded from that.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. Are you going to have music?
Yeah, we're going to have music, we're going to have makeup, we're just going to have a night of free expression, love, whatever.
That sounds very nice. And if people wanted to see Beautiful Thing, which is that that play that Carl here is popping on and starring in, they can do that, can't they? Because what time does the play start, Carl?
The play starts at 8 o'clock.
So you could have 2 hours of fun with Shane and then come along to the play.
Indeed.
Fantastic. And that play is based on a very famous original play, and it is the original play, isn't
it?
Because there's a very famous film that we showed here on the Isle of Wight last year.
Yeah.
Same name, it's by Jonathan Harvey. Beautiful Thing, about two young lads on a council estate who fall in love.
Yeah. It really is as simple as that.
Yeah.
But it's just such a lovely story, and it's really, really funny.
It is very funny. There's some good music in it in the film. Do you have that music as well?
Of course. You can't do Beautiful Thing without Mama Cass.
Okay, Mama Cass is going to be in it. What kind of music are you going to be playing, Shane? Are you DJing there, or are you getting somebody to do it for you?
No, I can't say I've got much experience. We will be getting someone in, and it's just going to be a variety of LGBT songs and modern pop songs.
Fantastic. Well, looking forward to that. I think it's going to be an amazing event. Stick with us. We've still got a little bit more to go here on Vectis Radio. We're talking about, obviously, the wonderful things going on regarding Isle of Wight Pride on the 15th of July, and in the lead up to that, in the 4 days before the Isle of Wight Pride Arts event, which is at the Apollo Theatre in Newport. Stick with us. We'll be back after a little after a few advertisements and one of the big headliners, Horse. That was Horse and Careful. Horse is yet another headliner at the Isle of Wight Pride, which is going to be on the 15th of July. I'm sure the 15th of July now is seared into your consciousness. Sue Bergen and Shane Jackson are here with me in the studio. Thank you very much for coming in, but thank you also for doing a terrific job in organising these events. I think the Isle of Wight Pride committee, which is called Team Pride, has come from absolutely nothing a year ago to putting on this enormous event where, we're anticipating 5,000 people.
Mm, absolutely. And there's a huge number of volunteers behind the scenes supporting this as well.
Yeah, and I think for people, who are not on the island, the amazing thing is, a year ago there wasn't a single gay, lesbian, LGBTQ night at any club or pub on the island at all. And now there is a huge plethora of events going on, isn't there? I mean, Coburg's are doing lots of things. This Friday, I understand.
There's another disco this
Friday. Well, there are two events, aren't there? Yeah. There's going to be an LGBTQ night at the Key Arts, which Caroline Diamond organises. Yeah. And then there's going to be one at Coburg's, which is going to be a big event.
That's right. And we've also got two showings of the Pride film as part of the Fringe. We've got one at Key Arts followed by a disco on the 7th, and we've got one at Ride at the Commodore on the Monday.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. You've got some more films as well. Yeah. That's brilliant. I think one thing we haven't mentioned is everybody loves a big party.
Yes.
All right. Now, the main attractions of the day, Freemasons, Horse and all these others, they're going to be at Pride Village, aren't they? Just next to Pride Village.
That's right.
Which is by the marina.
Yes.
This is the only Pride that is on a beach, I understand, in the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
Which is rather wonderful, isn't it? So that's a big draw. But in the evening, you are 18 when, Shane?
Luckily, just before Pride.
Ah, fantastic. So you will be able to come to that amazing VIP evening, the after party.
The after party at the balcony, yes. So there are a number of things. The after party at the balcony, there are still tickets available for that.
Yeah.
That is going to be excellent fun.
Because Freemasons are coming back, aren't they? And they're going to be DJing there. Yeah.
They're going to be DJing. There are other DJs. There are drag acts. There's comedy. So it's going to be another full night's entertainment. The party will go on.
Yeah, and people are going to have to stay, aren't they, and ride.
Absolutely. They're going to have to stay and ride, and really to get the most out of it. I think the messages really are, get your tickets for the after party. Get your tickets for the party on the beach. Register for those free tickets for the party on the beach. But if you want to take part in the parade itself, whether as part of a sports team or a group or a family or whatever, just get in touch through the website. There's an apply now button.
Okay.
So we can expect you. Otherwise, come and cheer along the route.
Yeah, it's going to be... Tell me what's going to be happening in that parade. Are people going to be dressing up? Are they going to be... Well, I hope they're not going to be any floats, because, of course, Union Street is very, very steep.
There are no floats.
thank goodness for that, because we'd have this enormous accident at the bottom, wouldn't we?
Could be. There are no floats. It starts at Ride School at 11, where everybody's gathering.
Yeah.
And we've got musicians, samba bands, all of the usual you can imagine.
Fabulous.
But we've got sports teams. We've got Cub Scouts. We've got the Royal British Legion.
Yeah.
Chaps on motorbikes. We've got all sorts of groups of people, young and old, all dressed up. We've got wearable art that Joe Corey's brought together. It will be colourful, vibrant, lively, cheerful.
Brilliant.
Family friendly and inclusive.
Good. And they're going to be speakers as well. I think Peter Tatchell's going to be popping along.
Oh, he's
one
of many speakers. Spoken word performances. We've got young people performing. We've got two stages, in fact. We've got one in the Pride Village and we've got one on the beach.
And at the Pride Village, there are going to be lots of people, you know, selling sort of nice rainbow rainbow bands and beach balls and things like that.
We've got that sort of thing. But we've also got the likes of Hayland's Farm coming to sell their produce and their plants and so on. So we've got a lot going on there. Family entertainment, children's workshops. It really is an all-day event, which is what the survey that we did. That's what people wanted.
No, exactly. Well, it's going to be wonderful. Shane, I know you're going to really enjoy it, and particularly as you'll have just turned 18, I think.
Definitely make the most of it.
You can let your hair down on that Saturday night. Thank you both for joining us. It's been wonderful having you here. If you're listening on the mainland, please do come over for Isle of Wight Pride. There are still a few tickets left. We want to make it the full 5,000, don't we?
Absolutely.
And all you need to do is just pop IW Pride into Google. You'll find at IW Pride on Twitter. There's a hashtag Love Wins, of course, for Isle of Wight Pride, but it's easy enough to get onto iwpride.org, which is the web address, and then that will tell you everything. Thank you very much, Sue. Thank you, Shane. www.vectisradio.com